Pastor of the Bride of Christ, and I enjoy listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay, my favorite talk show host.
I love you too. I most certainly do. Hello, Nashville. Good morning on this lovely Sunday morning. It's always good to say during the winter months, it's good to see some nice mornings for a change. Nothing blowing around out there. And nothing frozen. Shouldn't be. Not, if it is, it'll hopefully thaw out today. We are looking pretty good as far as the weather is concerned. We could use a little thaw out around here. Nothing like the nor'easter of the East Coast. They are, we shall not complain about anything, because they are straight up getting the weather's the worst nightmare in weather, for sure. Anyway, it's another big football weekend.
Yes, it is.
I was exhausted last week.
I bet.
I mean, I was like wore out. Those games last weekend were some of the best games I have ever seen in my life, and I don't know if you feel that way, but I most certainly do.
Yeah, they were exciting. Yeah,
they were past exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just everything was executed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rare to see a quarterback play like that.
Oh, it was unbelievable to see the amount of back-to-back-to-back. It was just too much. We, you know, my whole family, we were doing the family texting. And the memes and all that stuff were flying.
Mm-hmm.
And the last word my son said was, it was a lady falling over the sofa. She was so tired,
wow.
Right?
Yeah.
From, you know, oh, my God, it was just on the edge of the seat. But another round of that today.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So, we'll have to talk about that in a minute. Anyway, did you have a nice, quiet weekend?
Yeah, I didn't do too much.
That's good. That's,
yes, sir.
That's what's up. Did we have it already?
Yeah, we're still in it.
But, I mean, was there Saturday? I don't know. It just went by so fast, you know? It truly, truly did. But, we'll be back to work. Well, we're at work, but I mean, it'll be back to work Monday for so many people. But try to get a little exhale in there for yourself, if it's at all possible today. And try to get a little something in. Got a new book at 8 o'clock, and we're talking about that here in just a couple of minutes. Got some headlines. We are a couple days from Black History Month 2022, and I wonder if they're going to ban the use of the words Black History Month in Tennessee.
Of course. Of course. Someone is sitting around right now trying to figure out when the best time to submit that bill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're going to carve the word black out.
Because it's offensive.
It makes the little white children uncomfortable.
Yeah. Well, should we celebrate Black History? I mean, that's just...
Don't we have history?
Yeah, all history should just be the same. I mean, it should just be equal. I mean, you know.
I'm waiting for that day to come. It's, you know, the direction that things are going in, I would not be surprised if somebody wasn't conjuring that up or about to bring it to America's attention.
Or, as you used to say, is already on a shelf somewhere from back
certain,
in the day.
I am certain.
Somebody somewhere is looking around. Wait a minute, there it is right there from 1980.
No,
there it is.
No,
boom.
No. That would be a newly created. That would not be from 80, because in 80, they, you know, we wasn't going for that. That was a no-can-do. The sadness of the whole thing. You know, it was a struggle to get Black History Month.
Mm-hmm.
You know, less alone the fact that, I don't know. I just would wonder how you could talk about it, or are there only going to be certain people?
You just don't.
That, well, no, certain
you
figures.
You leave it as,
what,
I don't know.
Certain figures
yeah.
that you know, you're allowed to discuss. But then there's certain figures that you're not allowed to talk about because it would make people uncomfortable. That's going to be interesting in determining who makes you comfortable, who makes you uncomfortable. Let's see, what do we have in the books? Frederick Douglass is, it was in our school books, and was Dr. King in there? Well, maybe when the older kids, or today's kids, because when I was growing up, he was still alive. It's not much in there. So it's all going to be Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, an Emancipation Proclamation. I don't know if that's even
that's the stress for people.
Slavery, what's slavery?
Ooh, what do you mean? That just was way too much. And who would have thought it? But I mean, anything is entirely possible. And in today's realm, it is entirely possible. I'm sure one of those senators or governors on the other side of the aisle will come up with something or move the goalposts or make it less than 28 days. Yeah, that's it. Make it one day. Then we don't have to talk about it. One day, someday. Lord help us. Anyway, if the train goes back that far, then all the stuff that will have gone for naught, and that's the saddest day that this country will have seen, for sure, if we have to bow down and can't even acknowledge the facts, because it's not like we're going to get vacuumed up out of here. We all will be gone. That ain't happening. Anyway, let's see, got some headlines up. Let me talk about the weather first. It is beautiful sunshine, sunrise and all in Nashville. Our high will be 51. A few clouds and come around tonight, 26. We're going to see sunshine pretty much the good portion of the beginning of the week. And then, of course, our chances for rain, you know how it is. They'll be back. 62 by Tuesday. And then we're going to get spoiled. And then we're going to want it to stay at 62.
Wow, 62 degrees.
Yeah.
In February, wow.
On that Tuesday. And which is the February 1st. The first of the month, and here comes 62. That's going to be almost, when you go out to check the mail, you might not need your jacket. I don't know. But we've got looking at the rain, ushering in Tuesday night, 20, and percent start out at 20, that goes up to 50% for some overnight showers on Tuesday night. Wednesday, 100%. All day and all night on Wednesday into Thursday. So we're continuous rain from the middle of the week on. So while you have sun, let it shine and enjoy it, because you won't be seeing it the other half of the week. We are at 31 degrees in Nashville. That's not too bad. It doesn't feel as bad at 31 as it did at 21. Mm-hmm. So today's book guest is Craig Bridgeforth. He is a longtime Sunday school teacher and author, and he'll be with me at 8 o'clock to discuss his book on dates of key Bible figures and events. And his book is entitled The True Bible Timeline. So, and he put some years of research into writing the book. So, I wonder if he's going to be thorough like Fred Shereen.
Mm. Yeah.
Nobody's as thorough as Fred. Mm-hmm. That guy. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
Hands down, he's the best.
Yeah. So, he is scheduled sometime coming up, too. Because we're going out of Revelation. Because yeah. I'm real far behind on his collection.
He is no joke.
I know. Because he's sent me two.
If you have his whole collection, I'm just saying in general for public, if you have his whole collection, I mean, that right there is just...
Those are intense Bible studies.
Yeah. That's gold. That beats... I think his books are better than any study material that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's not so over your head you can't understand it.
Better than Google, better than any book on my shelf. It's just... extensive detail and just down to earth language.
Well, you know the thing, culturally speaking, the United States can't get with his culture, but he does go into some information on that, so people would think more about the times and the people versus trying to measure by today's standards. Anyway, let's see. Let me talk about, I don't normally start out with talking about what time the games are, but that's on a lot of people's heads and minds. Some people playoffs. Don't care less, but the AFC championship game is this afternoon,
2:00, right?
2:00
mm-hmm. our time, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, and go Chiefs. I did not want to, you know, but I did notice one thing that they did. That stadium is known for its deafening noise.
Mm-hmm.
You noticed it worked last week.
Yeah, I heard. Okay. They said it's one of the loudest
in the
NFL.
Yeah, so they used it last week, and it was just a beautiful game. Now, I'm sure the Titans fans will be glad if the Chiefs beat the Bengals.
No. Well...
What? The Bengals beat the Titans.
Well, the rule normally goes that you feel better if the team that beat you continues to win.
Why do you feel better?
Because they beat you.
And?
And you want that team to... Nothing about the Titans did beat both these teams in the regular season, but you want to at least know that the team that beat you at least went that far. And
no,
so they were just
I don't
want to
know
good.
That. I want to know the following week they got a beatdown. Okay, I don't know
normally,
what kind of football watching you be doing.
Not, if there's bad blood,
it could have been if the Titans won, mm-hmm. it could have been the Chiefs and Titans.
It would have been. They would have been here.
Yeah.
But that's if you have bad blood between the teams. Yes, like we had it between us and maybe Indianapolis or something like that. But when Peyton Manning played there, but or New England, but.
I don't, you know, that's your theory.
No, that's normally the rule of thumb in most sports.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I never heard that one before. You always want them to just get a smackdown.
If there's bad blood. Yes, if there's bad blood, if that's your rivalry, but normally.
But I don't even need bad blood.
But
you
if it's Cincinnati.
Me, why do I care if you win?
Because you want your fans to think it makes you feel better knowing that that team was that good over you. You don't want to lose and then turn around and then they get whipped and you go, oh, see, because you should have beat them. So that's normally how that goes.
Hey, that's how it goes.
Because it's a you should have beat them type thing.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. That's how it goes with you, but not for me. That is not how I want them to be in a smackdown, okay?
Well, of course you want your team to win. I'm just saying, but in general.
No, I mean, I would not be, to me, if it was the other way around, I don't know if I'd go cheer for them.
Yeah, and it's hard. I'm not saying that you cheer for them. Let me separate this. Not that you go out and you cheer for them, but you want to know that the team that beat you was really better. And that they just beat you.
You already find that out when you get beat.
Yeah.
They better. Boom. Because the Titans made mistakes.
Yeah, so Cincinnati was not necessarily better than the Titans. They just made fewer mistakes.
Well, that's what it takes to win a game.
Yeah.
So I know it sounds horrible
because they did win, and winning cures all, as they say. But, you know, really.
But that's the way a game goes.
Yeah.
You know, ye who doesn't make the mistakes usually is that's the one that won. You know?
That's why everybody's mad at Ryan. Yeah.
So, you know, it is what it wasn't in the cards.
I'm not upset with them, but yeah.
But I just, you know, I think for my portion of me that's Titans, I want to see the Bengals
lose. Of course you do.
Put in the closet.
Of course you do.
And not because they're playing the Chiefs either, but because, you know, they came into town and smacked around the homeboys here. I mean, you know, I ain't happy about that. If they win, I'm not happy about that. I'm not. Yeah. I can't be. Maybe you can. Yeah. But I just cannot. I'm like, no. So, that's two different thought processes on that. Because everybody's going to think however they want.
Yeah.
But I just, and, we and, could just agree to disagree.
Yeah, no one is picking Cincinnati to win. But, you know, but normally as it goes, especially the way that the Titans lost. You know,
it wouldn't matter. An L is an L.
Oh, but it is, but to lose like that hurts.
All loss hurts.
But when you're driving up the field and you know you this is what you're getting ready to do, and all you gotta do is kick a field goal or go into overtime, and then you turn the ball over like that.
And so it goes. I mean, you know,
there it is.
There's always winners and losers.
What? Really, dude? Yeah.
But that's how you learn lessons.
Yeah.
And I'm certain that they got
some. That's what I was telling you. You know, you got to.
Lessons to
learn. It's all this talk about not, you know, Ryan Tannehill is the quarterback for the Titans. And, you know, you can't. It is what it is.
Well,
you know,
some of the other folks that they had, everybody had put their stock in, did not get to produce like they really wanted them to.
No, I mean, well, this is how far we hadn't gotten this far since when Steve McNair, you know how long that's been. So for people who were saying all that negative stuff about them, I mean, like, really? How long y'all been in Tennessee? Because we hadn't gotten this far.
Well,
Nashville hasn't
had a team but 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's what I'm saying. So to just get throw the guy out, you know, under the bus like that, to me is ridiculous, you know. So,
well, they would throw you under the bus if you were out there.
They would have thrown anybody that would have fumbled it, even if the kicker had missed the field goal and lost the game, he would have been. So it wouldn't have mattered. So the only thing, the fact that they lost, and there was no reason for them to lose that game. So that was, they were not supposed to lose.
It just they weren't. Yeah. They
yeah.
It, so it doesn't matter.
So it wasn't going to matter. It wasn't going to matter who messed it up. The finger was going to get pointed at somebody. So there was the quarterback, so he's going to take the blame.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, we'll just agree to disagree on that. And the NFC Championship is at 5:40.
That's going to be a good one.
So more back-to-back.
That's going to be a good one.
At SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California.
Yeah.
And the Rams at 49ers.
I'm rooting for Odell.
49ers at Rams.
I'm rooting for Odell Beckham Jr.
Are you?
Yeah.
See, I don't have a thought in that game.
Yeah.
Because I remember when the Rams used to be St. Louis.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. I'm rooting for him because, you know, he's had an incredible career. And to my surprise, I didn't realize that he had never really won a playoff game. He spent a lot of years, just watching him go through that adversity and just now get an opportunity to, you know, contribute in this manner is good.
Well, we'll see how that one comes out. See, I don't.
Jalen Ramsey on that team, they're loaded with talent. Yeah. That's going to be a good game.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to be the Rams and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Those are the two strongest teams. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to say yet.
Yeah. I just have a feeling. Yeah. But like I said last week, that I felt as though the winner of the Kansas City Buffalo game were going to go to the Super Bowl and probably win it. So I think that the best team so far, the fires on all cylinders, is Kansas City.
Well, honey, who loves Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah.
Okay, I do. Yeah. Patrick Mahomes is the little man.
They have so many ways to beat you, and that's it's hard to game plan against that. Because I play defense.
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So I play defense in football. So to me, just a team like that can be a nightmare.
Well, I tell you, yeah. I rest assured it sounded like a herd of elephants in my house last weekend. Because I was just hollering like I had 45 people in there. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, I slept well.
I bet.
I was so tired of hollering. Yeah. Like, oh, my God, y'all are just killing me.
And I think they're going to change that overtime rule after this season, too.
You think?
Yeah. And I think they should. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't think a game should end in ties, either. I don't agree with that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. We just play it till you can't play no more.
Yeah. Play to somebody.
Either way it goes.
It just changes where at least however they have it,
however they have it, somebody's going to be unhappy.
Yeah.
Either way it goes, because that's the way it is out there. Tom Brady, I would just say good night. Okay. Good night, Tom.
Yeah, he's retiring.
Yeah, he said, then he didn't say. And then no one has time for your as the world turns drama. Nighty night. Let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
This weekend on Blues Time in the City, Columbus Toys.
I was fascinated with groups.
Oh, he loves groups. Columbus Toys talking this weekend.
That's the call I've been waiting for all my life.
And he finally got the call. Later, that's Zach Harmon, and Zach will perform one of his past performances live. And he'll talk a little bit. Join me, Rosine Bailey, for Blues Time in the City this weekend right here. Catch Blues Time in the City Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from TPAC, featuring a book by Tina Fey. Mean Girls tells the story of a naive newbie who falls prey to a trio of lion-eyed frenemies. Entertainment Weekly calls it a marvel, dazzling and hilarious. And USA Today says we'll let you in on a little secret because we're such good friends. Coming soon to Tennessee Performing Arts Center, February 8th through the 13th. Tickets at tpac.org.
Didn't we all think we'd be commuting in flying cars by now? Actually, we weren't that far off in our predictions for the future. The future is here, and it's the electric vehicle. Your neighbors are already driving them. They are saving all that money you spend on gas and maintenance. Watch them wave as they drive past you at the gas station. They don't have to get oil changes. As a matter of fact, there's very little maintenance. If you don't count changing the wiper blades occasionally. Seriously, that's it. Wiper blades and tire rotations. And electric vehicles are fun to drive. It's a smooth, quiet ride. Your music sounds a lot better when you can actually hear it on the highway. Have I piqued your curiosity? You can learn more about how you can save money and have fun driving an electric vehicle at driveelectrictn.org. In case you missed it, driveelectrictn.org. Sponsored by the East Tennessee Clean Fuels Coalition, the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
You saved my life. You held my hand when I was scared. You helped me say goodbye to my dad. You were an example for me. You gave me strength when I thought I had none left. I couldn't tell you then, but I want to say thank you. All of you, for everything. Thank you to the physicians, nurses, and others working in America's hospitals and health systems. A message from the American Hospital Association, American Medical Association, and American Nurses Association.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK, Historic Fisk University. And we got a Black History Month programming starting on, but actually Thursday, because our shows are Monday night and Thursday night at 7. So we've got some one-hour specials to air for you on various people and events from Black history that you'll hear on WFSK, because we say black here whenever we want to. Because this is a historically black college and university. So the word black is not banned. Whew, praise the Lord. All right, let's see what we got here in the news. Nashville's police chief has stripped an officer of his policing authority after he fired the final two shots to end a fatal highway standoff in which 9 officers opened fire on a man holding a box cutter. Authorities on Thursday had pleaded with 37-year-old Landon Estep during a traffic stop encounter to surrender. They kept him at gunpoint, killing the man when he pulled another shiny object from his pocket and pointed it at police as if ready to shoot. The object turned out to be not to be a gun. Attorney Joy Kimbrough called the shooting a firing squad execution. The Tennessee Bureau of Investigation is examining what happened. And you know, on that video, that is exactly what it looked like. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, just, it looked like
firing squad.
It just really did. And the press conference that they had, the NAACP had, Friday, I believe it was Friday. And,
I attended that one.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. I went down there.
And it was, you know, it just, the optics were just horrible. And why was there no mental health person?
That was the number one question.
Because I thought that was going to be part of the strategies.
Yeah, it should have been, to me, obvious from whatever officer was there. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, because Highway Patrol was involved. I don't know if they have that as their policy or not, of having a mental health professional.
It just seemed like the thing to do. I mean, the guy's standing there. I mean, when you look at the video, you can tell something's not right with them. So it's like, you know, maybe we should call somebody to come talk. But, you know, it just didn't seem like, yeah.
I just don't know why it took 6 people to do it, because, you know, it was just like a firing line. Yeah. So we'll have to see how that turns out, because that was city, state, and then an off-duty.
Yeah. My concern was also straight bullets. You know, just to do that, like, you're not concerned, you know,
No, that didn't seem to be an issue at all. But they had the traffic, you know, blocked on both sides. So, but, you know, bullets can't say where they're going. Yeah. They're just going. Anyway, yeah, we'll have to definitely, that one will be watched for sure. And also watched and discussed nationally, locally and nationally, out of Athens, Tennessee, a Tennessee school district has voted to ban a Pulitzer Prize winning graphic novel about the Holocaust due to inappropriate language and an illustration of a nude woman. That's a question. Have they seen those statues in the roundabout?
You know, and that made national news.
Those statues in the roundabout.
That doesn't seem to bother them.
And those ones at the Parthenon.
That didn't bother them.
They're naked. Is this, okay. Well, maybe people from there haven't been here.
No.
But it's okay because those are, what, Greek figures?
Yeah. That'll
be okay. That's according to minutes from the McMinn County School Board meeting on January 10th. Board members voted to remove Mouse, a graphic novel by Art Spiegelman. The book was part of the district's 8th grade English language arts curriculum. The board emphasized that they did not object to teaching about the Holocaust, but were concerned the work wasn't age appropriate. Have they seen those statues at the roundabout? Okay. Have they been to the Parthenon? Okay. Although they discussed the redacting parts of it, that led to copyright concerns, and board members ultimately decided to look for an alternative book on the subject. So if the children from there are in the car and they're in the roundabout in Music Row, do they have to put a blindfold over them before they can go around
in
circles?
Not.
If they went to the Parthenon on a field trip, would the children have to be
just driving through
blindfolded?
Like, wow, yeah, look at those naked people, yeah.
Oh my God. If they went to a museum and they saw,
because I remember how shocked I was when they first went up. I was like, wow, really? It's gonna put that right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, they.
Well, I remember
it
that.
Was
yeah.
dancing people. I
yeah.
remember that was cool.
I
everybody
was, like,
was
oh,
cool with that.
Really? That's cool.
Put well,
that
I remember
up
at first, you know, since I've been in, working in Round News, people threw cloth over some of their body parts, you know, because it was just too much exposure. And now y'all got your body parts all over social media. My how time has changed. And speaking of that, in their social circles, mm-hmm. they're putting their body parts out. You know, mm-hmm. boys are asking girls to take pictures of this and that and the other. And, you know, I hope those parents are paying attention to that as well. While they're on the moral march to puritanical. I just, you know, there were stories all week long about this. So, and I know there's a couple of, I think a Toni Morrison book is also one.
Mm-hmm.
And there's several other black books that will be on the banned list. When you start banning books, that sounds like an eerily mm-hmm. weird time, doesn't it? And the very people that holler culture wars and all that are the ones who are lobbing all the fire.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, huh? So you can talk about it, but what you are it. You know, it just seems kind of phony.
Someone said that, I can't think of which show it was on, one of the weekend shows. It might have been, what's that guy? I think the bald-headed guy with the glasses. On MSNBC.
Oh, Ali Velci.
Yeah, it's that guy. He talked about the fact that the people who are out here banning books and
oh,
crying culture wars,
yeah.
they're the ones who are fickle and thin skin. Accusing other people, it's gonna hurt my kid. No, really, you are the one that's fickle and thick skin because you're the one that can't face the truth.
Well, they're the ones that are
yeah.
inflicting pain on everybody
yeah.
else.
So y'all the ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just inflicting. You know,
and they know it.
Ali used to be on CNN.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
He must have got a bigger
car. Of course.
But I mean, it's the classic
yeah.
stuff, you know. Do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
And that's precisely what this whole thing is about. Now, let me talk about Black History Month. And I'm going to say black, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On a black college radio station, on a historically black college campus, in January 2022, I was saying. So, you know, if you need to cover up your ears. The Stax Museum of American Soul Music and its Music Academy in Tennessee are once again offering an online concert and a virtual tour in honor of Black History Month in February.
Mm.
Very nice. The Memphis-based studio produced soul music by Otis Redding, Sam and Dave, Booker T and the MGs, and others in the 1960s and 70s. The studio has been turned into a museum, and the Stax Music Academy teaches music to young people. That's lovely, isn't
it? Yes,
lovely?
It is.
This year's online concert will have students performing videos featuring songs from B.B. King, Ike and Tina Turner, and others. The virtual tour will focus on the achievements of four Stax legends. That's nice. That's really nice. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they would be allowed to do that if they're on the other side of the house.
I know.
Can't watch it.
Might offend somebody.
Right. No question. So, how... You know, I need to call a couple of black Republicans I know and ask them, does this affect
them? Oh, you already know me.
Yeah.
You already know the talking point is going to be, they're going to talk about somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, what about when the left does this? And, you know, what about when such and such did that? So they didn't answer that question.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Lock her up. No, I better not, because then they'll call me.
Yeah, the Democrats, they do the same thing. They've been, they banned such as that. They banned Mickey Mouse and, you know, all that, yeah.
It just, you know. But, I mean, because it's black and they're black, is that like a bridge too far?
They can't say anything.
They're not going to? They could, but they're not going to.
Both?
They're going to. Now, I'll get the emails from a couple of the groups. The Project 615.
They'll probably tell you in private. You know how they do. They'll tell you in private, but they ain't going to say
this on the radio.
They'll say it publicly, yeah.
The Project 615 people that send me stuff all the time, the Black Republicans group, they always twist history. They use the black person in it, but they always... Their moral of the story is much different than the story. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not what I got from that. So, there's some stuff that across the board, you just ought to just say, you know what, that's right. Instead of trying to find fault, there's some stuff, just let it just be, let it be. Isn't that a song, Let It Be?
Yes, it is.
Okay, Beatles. All right, now... Let me go into this. Did you see how deep that snow was?
Mm-hmm.
It almost was like almost hip deep, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, holy cow. And those brave reporters out there, you know, teeth chattering, they're getting paid for it. They're getting hazard pay. They're risking their life. You know, at least they have, most of them have hats on and are bundled up. Versus trying to go out there and be cute. And, you know, it would just not make any sense to me to do that. But out of Boston, parts of 10 eastern U.S. states are under blizzard warnings as a powerful storm that could dump as much as 2 feet of snow on Boston begins churning up the coast. 2 feet of snow would take Nashville would completely, all lights out. Y'all couldn't, you know... Brains are slick. I mean, 2 feet of snow, come on. Paralyzed, completely paralyzed. Oh, man. Shoppers cleared grocery store shelves and raided snowblower dealers Friday ahead of the storm. And I bet you it was panic eating going on, too. Because, God, we're never going to eat again. And, you probably couldn't get a snow blower or snow shovel or anything else on the East Coast.
Sold out.
Yeah, you had to drive south to get one of those. Snow could fall as fast as 5 inches an hour in some spots, and winds in North England could gust as high as 70 miles per hour on blizzard conditions. New York and Philadelphia are also in the storm's path. Airlines have canceled thousands of flights in advance. Some New England officials are fretting about a shortage of snowplow drivers. Of course, they must have cots in the back for them because they can't go home. Intense cold is expected to follow the storm. And I bet a lot of the places have nearby places for people to stay if they want to have employees.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's some stuff not worth risking your life for. And it just, you know, depends on how important the functioning is of your job. And the airport, I don't know how they would work that out. You think they got hotels nearby and stuff for the people to stay in. And
these are employees.
Yeah. Well, there's no flights.
Yeah.
You know, pilots and flight attendants, I guess, could, and the crew.
Yeah.
But that's just a lot of people's travel this weekend is over. Mm. Totally over. And they might as well plan to stay a couple extra days wherever they are. Let's take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
For the next Jazz Night in America, we're crate digging and examining the legacy of one of my all-time favorites, the legendary late pianist McCoy Tyner. We uncover a concert gem recorded at the Village Vanguard never heard before. That's next time on Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Support for WFSK comes from National Shows 2. Presenting 7-time Grammy winner Gladys Knight. The enchanting voice of Gladys Knight. One impressive hit after another. Gladys Knight, April 25th at the Ryman. Tickets are available at Ryman.com.
Wayans. African Americans are 3 times more likely to be diagnosed with pancreatic cancer than any other racial or ethnic group.
When you or someone you love is facing a pancreatic cancer diagnosis, access to cutting-edge treatment can help make long-term survival possible and improve future patient outcomes.
That's why Stand Up to Cancer and the Lust Garden Foundation have teamed up to bring over 30 pancreatic cancer clinical trials to those who need them.
Learning all you can about pancreatic cancer, including treatment options and what clinical trials are available, can give you or a loved one even more than hope. It can help make long-term survival possible.
For more information about the latest pancreatic cancer research and clinical trials near you, visit pancreaticcancercollective.org.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This has been a reminder from community-minded Jazzy 88 WFSK.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University and What's Up 411. With Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And in the Boston, Massachusetts area, 70,000 households without power. Mm. Lord, it's got to be cold. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
man. Oh, man. Whew. That has got to be really cold. And that wind blowing, you know, like that. And you have no heat. And Lord have mercy. And they may, in some parts of that state, get 30 inches of snow.
Oh, wow.
That is unbelievable. And they hadn't seen anything like that in a long time there. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a major issue for the East Coast for sure. And because so far they have been getting along pretty good this winter compared to how they have done in prior winters. They're calling it the bomb cyclone. Mm. And they dropped a snow bomb.
They sure did.
Truly dropped a snow bomb on New York and New Jersey, Massachusetts, and up and down the Cape Cod and all that, Boston and everything. They have really, really had a struggle. And I'm grateful for our weather here. We shall not, and we will not complain about anything with 31 degrees and sunshine and nothing on the ground. In terms of the white stuff, for so many years, you know, we get what? So we had six, and that almost paralyzed Nashville. But 30, shut it down, shut it down. Anyway, before I go on to my next story, when you went to the press conference, was it Friday afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
The mother of the young, not the mother, the wife of the young man who was killed on the interstate was there, of course, with the president of NAM and the president of the NAACP and her attorney. And they began to ask questions in terms of, you know, what kind of person he was, how was she dealing with it. But I think what was coming out of the press conference was they wanted it to be known that they wanted some questions answered of the police department in terms of their practices and why did what everyone was talking about, why did it have to happen like that?
Yeah.
And to also express that she was going to need financial help because he was the breadwinner of the house, and so they were going to start a official GoFundMe page to help her and the family. So,
Well, and I'm certain for some people who didn't know the NAACP worked to help mankind, were quite surprised to see the white victims'
and
family.
That was stated as well.
I mean, the white family.
Senator Gilmore was in attendance, and see Eric Capehart, which is the newly elected president of NAM, National Action Network. The president of the NAACP, which is it Cheryl Gwynn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Cheryl Gwynn. And they wanted it to be known that it's a human rights issue, not just a color issue.
Well, that's
and
what
so,
I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, for the people that don't know this, what the NAACP does, they just assume because it says colored people, you know, Association for the Advancement of Colored People.
Yeah.
That people of all colors come there.
Yeah. And one of the things that I find distressing in these types of situations is when they bring a person's record and plaster it. That was one of the questions that one of the reporters asked, which was, you know, about his past record. And, you know, as we stood there, my thought was, why do you all ask that? Why do you all continue to do that? And then on, you know, for the news channels that they carried it, they had his record on TV. And I kept thinking to myself, why does that matter?
Well, it matters in drawing the conclusion as to what kind of, you know, story.
I mean, if, you know, if it should matter in the context if it has something to do with a situation that took place. But when you watch the video, it is clear that to bring up the man's past and to begin to paint a public opinion, I mean, to me, it's just, that's ridiculous. Because he
needed... Well, that's the purpose of the asking him. Because, you know, they want all things on the table. And, you know, the facts are that she had had some issues with him and had to call in. So he was well documented as having mental health issues.
But if you do
And that's why, to me, if they checked, checked his record, they would see that he already...
But if
already,
you do that...
They should have had a mental health person there.
Exactly. But you if know. You do that, then you also have to do due diligence to... And I hate to say this to the people who pulled the trigger, because what about their records and what about their ability to ascertain different situations and different, you know, when you go on these different calls and your mental capacity to do your job and things of that nature, then all of it should come into play, not just the individual who's out there, but all of it. And
well,
that's how
well,
I'm yeah.
But you don't have enough time to gather that much information, Axe. Come on.
No, but if you pull it up
on a timeline.
You pull it up, then leave his part out so that he can get a fair trial. And don't put, and not just that individual, but we see it time and time again, because what ends up happening is, like we saw with
It'll
Daniel
come
Hendrick.
Out.
Yeah, but it's not the same when it comes out. Like in the case of Daniel Hendrick, the first thing that they did was bring up his record.
Well, that's
and then you had one of the
that happens all the
one
time.
Of the people from not the police department, but one of the other agencies who represents the police come out and say, well, we're not gonna rush to judgment when it comes to this officer and his credibility and his history. Let's not you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. And but you didn't do it to the person, you see, so it's not fair.
It's not ever fair.
Which is my point.
And as long as we live, it's never going to be. And
those are judgment calls made by people, though. That's my point. Somebody had to make the decision at those news desks to air that stuff, is my point.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at. It didn't just appear on television. No, y'all dug it up and you put it on television for everybody to see.
Well, they were going to see it anyway, because a lot of that stuff is public record.
But let the people dig it up. Don't put his history for everybody to read and see. And then if you have to have a trial later to try to figure out what's going on, then now it's tainted, because in people's minds, they're going, you know what, I remember that case because I remember on TV. It just makes it harder for justice itself to get done.
I think it depends. I think it depends. And in due time and in due diligence, if there are things that show a pattern in those six law enforcement officers' backgrounds, you know, the newsrooms that are staffed and have reporters, that will be part of what they will be uncovering.
True.
But it just takes time.
But you know how it goes. You know, once it's like offering the apology after something happens, you know, you're not going to have the same audience as you had when you first released that information.
Well, that's important to tell.
Like
a retraction. The issues about the person, but his mental health state. You wouldn't really know how much time he's had with dealing with mental health issues if you didn't look at all that stuff that's stacked up.
But,
how would you know that?
But why make it public like that? To me, it's slander. What's the point in telling me, the viewer, after I just watched this video of this man, that he had mental health issues or he was in trouble with the law and all this other kind of stuff, when that's not what I saw on TV? That's not what I mean.
Well, clearly, if you're standing out there and you have something on, you're sitting on the interstate, something is mentally going wrong.
There it is.
And so
to me, I'm drawing my conclusion from what I'm looking at, like, wow, something's going on with that guy. He should get some help. So,
well, that was why I still question. I thought that there should have been something in place, and I don't know about the state of Tennessee and how they handle those troopers. But I thought that we had something in place in Nashville where that was part of the response team that went out at the time when various scenarios go down. So maybe we'll find that out in the coming days. Yeah. And see what
and you had just had when did it happen? Thursday? Yeah. And you had just had the police chief on Wednesday.
So little
did we know that hours later,
As it always goes, I can circle back around, you know. I have absolutely no problem with that. Because Metro police officers were involved.
Yeah.
You know, and Mount Juliet officer, the off-duty, he was involved.
And let me go ahead and say publicly, I do thank them for the job that they do. You know, I am in no way, in any way, saying that, you know, I don't appreciate their job. I just think that, as with all things,
well, it's not about that. Yeah. It's about, you know, when you you do right and wrong.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
And making a decision.
That's all I'm saying is that, yeah.
And that one just looked, if it wasn't, the video told it. And the people that were videotaping from their cars when they showed those videos, it was unbelievable to watch. I was like, holy cow. That just reminded me of one of those executions that, you know, is done. Anyway, so thank you for that.
Yeah.
Now let me get to my last couple stories before we go up to the top of the hour. Out of Columbia, South Carolina, at Joe Biden's lowest moment in the 2020 campaign, influential Representative Jim Clyburn suggested that Biden should pledge to put the first black woman on the Supreme Court. Biden made that promise at a Democratic debate, and Clyburn says that was key to turning out the black support that helped Biden win the South Carolina primary and ultimately the White House. 2 years later, the hoped-for vacancy on the court has arrived, and Biden is standing by his pledge. Praise the Lord. And Clyburn, the highest-ranking black member of Congress, has one more ask. Clyburn is making a forceful case for his preferred choice, U.S. District Judge J. Michelle Childs, a jurist from his native South Carolina. Yeah. Well, you know he's going to pull for the home girl, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, it could be up to four women. Now, I didn't want to have to throw the T news in. And you know the T goes with four other letters. And you already know what they are. Out of Conroe, Texas, former President Donald Trump is dangling the prospect of pardons for supporters who participated in the deadly January 6th riot at the Capitol if he returns to the White House. Reason number 99 why he doesn't need to return. During a rally last night in Texas, Trump said if he wins against the president, runs against the president and wins, he will treat, quote, those people from January 6th fairly, end quote. He added that if pardons are required, we will give them pardons because they were being so unfairly treated. Why, y'all? More than 700 people have been arrested and charged with federal crimes in connection with the January 6th riot. They pooped on the floor, okay? They were treated unfairly as pulling your pants down and letting it loose in the United States Capitol. Oh, wow. Are you kidding? Among the growing challenges that, however, Trump is confronting, there's a cascade of intensifying investigations that represent the most serious legal threat he has ever faced. And new polling suggests his iron grip on the Republican Party may be loosening. Yet, those around Trump describe him as largely unbothered by the legal proceedings, emboldened by a sense of invisibility that has allowed him to recover from devastating turns that would have ended the careers of other politicians. And then there's the cat with nine lives, but then you don't get 10. Okay?
What's today's date? Today is January 30th. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and make a prediction on this show. Well, and say, you know what? Not this time.
Okay.
Not this time.
Oh, you think it's going to catch up?
It's already caught up with him. It's just a matter of time. And he is ranting like someone who is about to pay the piper.
Well,
That's what all that sounds like to me.
Hello, Piper. Nice to meet you.
So he's ramping up his little supporters to go out there and start protesting because you know what? It's been time, but his the writing's on the wall. Time, the writing is on the wall for him.
Yeah, and no one gets that many chances, okay? No one. And the only reason why he's skating is because he had people opening doors and keeping the ice frozen on the skating rink. But, you know, law of averages said time is up. But the folks that did the insurrection on January 6th of last year, are you kidding? You tore up our capital, cost us millions of dollars. Folks lost their lives. And you urinated on the walls and pooped on the floor, on the floors and smeared it on the walls, and people had to clean that up. Broken glass, scaring people to death, and turning this country upside down. And Trump says they were treated unfairly. Really? He must be from another planet. That's the only thing I can say. He's got to be from another planet. Anyway, coming up, what planet might that be? I don't know. The planet of out of his mind. I don't know. Anyway, the book coming up is The True Bible Timeline. An accurate chronology of the Old Testament by R. Craig Bridgeforth. So let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
88.1 WFSK FM, Fisk University, Nashville.
There's a silent epidemic of suicide, but we're Tennessee, and we won't be silent.
It just breaks my heart when someone I know is struggling. I can't be silent about it anymore.
Suicide is preventable. Go to TennesseeWon'tBeSilent.com for education and resources. And there are local folks who can help.
We're Tennessee. We help each other.
TennesseeWon'tBeSilent.com.
Brought to you by the Jason Foundation, in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When you went car shopping, you meant business. You aced vehicle history searches and test drives. Now you've got your wheels. If you manage that, you can get your retirement plan on track. Visiting aceyourretirement.org can help. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.